'cause I'm the tax man.
You may be one of millions of Americans putting the finishing touches on your tax paperwork and heading off to the closest post office. Taxes are obviously on the minds of many citizens and legislators today on this tax day. The Buffett rule did not even get debate in the Senate yesterday. That was no surprise. Republicans are no fans of that bill. It requires the wealthiest Americans to pay at least 30% of their income in federal taxes. But agree with him or not, Warren Buffett has started a conversation about taxes, about tax reform, and about the amount that our wealthiest citizens pay. Bob Henley joins us now. He's contributing editor for Politics and Investigations for our co-producer WNYC, and he's been investigating the tax rate of another billionaire, New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Bob, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning.
Let's get, you know, the basic essentials out of the way here. What is Michael Bloomberg's tax rate?
Well, we do not know. He has told us when asked after the Romney controversy, when Romney's tax returns were released, he said he wouldn't specifically say what it was. He said, I believe it's the highest when you consider what I give away to charities. It's important to know that his philanthropy, Bloomberg Family Foundation, gave $330 million away last year.
That's a lot.
So all we really know about Michael Bloomberg's structure is what is made available annually through the conflict of interest disclosure form that the city requires all elected officials to put together. And since when he started in 2002, he came in, the first form had some 49 subsidiaries around the world. The last one that was released last year showed some 89. And so basically he also goes the extra level of disclosure and shows us annually a redacted form of his income tax form, where letters A through G represent numerical values, G being $500,000 or more. So it's really – it's hard to know specifically. They say they don't release that totally. By the way, there's no requirement. This is important to say. No American citizen has to publicly disclose their income tax. You know, so presidential candidates and the president themselves have voluntarily come to do that. But in point of fact, there's no requirement that Michael Bloomberg do that. They say they don't release it because it could be used by his competitors. The source of his wealth, of course, is Bloomberg LP, the machines, the media empire. His income is in terms of the income of, you know, his net worth, according to Forbes, which is primarily derived from the scale of Bloomberg LP, the global enterprise, from some under $5 billion when he first came into office. Forbes estimates now it's up to like $22 billion.
Oh, my God.
But you asked, right, why he doesn't disclose his rate of tax?
Well, mainly because he had started to enter into this debate in the sense that now he's kind of like move over Buffett. Bloomberg is looking at the fact that the U.S. corporate tax rate is 35%. There's discussion that it is relatively high around the world. And now what's happened is capital is so mobile that nations are competing to attract investment. So they estimate that some $2 trillion, believe it or not, U.S. multinationals have stranded offshore because the tax rate is so high here. So they haven't brought it back into the U.S. Bloomberg's argument is, listen, let's get that capital back in here and lower corporate taxes and raise taxes on individuals. So when I asked him about why he doesn't disclose details about his taxes, this is what he said.
Why won't you disclose what you actually physically pay in terms of federal taxes?
There's no reason to. We have categories, and I have a personal life. The accountants will tell you I pay 100% of my taxes. I don't have tax shelters in the context that you would talk about it. Okay. I pay what I'm supposed to pay, and, it's earn money all around the world.
All right. He says he doesn't have tax shelters, but he means personally because Bloomberg Corporation does, right?
Well, it's not. What they have is a wealth management and business structure. It's impossible to tell without specific details of the form to know what purpose these are put to. There's a lot of reasons why people would domicile something at so-called tax havens. There's asset protection, for instance. If you want to keep your money or your assets away from potential litigation in a particular jurisdiction, you can do that. Unless you get in and actually look at the raw numbers, it's impossible to tell what the actual intent is.
But it was very interesting when you asked him about these accounts in the Cayman Islands, these businesses.
Now, accounts are different. What he has is subsidiaries, the
right.
Bloomberg
these
Enterprise.
LLCs.
There's one
Limited
in the Cayman Islands. There is two in the Isle of Jersey. There's two in Bermuda. And so this is when I asked him about the Cayman. This is what he said.
What is the purpose of that Bloomberg Cayman LLC that's
company,
listed here?
Yeah. Companies typically would have You, in a lot of parts of the world, you have to be registered to do business in that country. We have reporters in 120 countries. I don't know about the Cayman Islands, quite honestly. I don't run the company. It's been a long time since I've been there. But we would have subsidiaries in most of those 120 countries, or at least in the 60 cities, because you have to be registered. It doesn't have anything to do with taxes. Sometimes local entities have taxes. You pay them. But in any case, all the earnings come back here, and Americans pay taxes no matter where the money is made.
Although, I mean, the reason this question comes up is because of this discussion over the Buffett rule, because it's things like tax havens and tax shelters that help the wealthiest citizens and wealthiest corporations. Well,
It has to do with the fact that now in 1913, when the tax code was put in place, we couldn't imagine dozens of tax havens and different banking jurisdictions around the world available by the internet that can help people as a business strategy amass global wealth. What relevance is the U.S. tax code now to this global environment is a key question. I spoke with Jeffrey Sachs. I know he's been a guest in this program. And he talked about what's happening now with this global marketplace and how hard it is for nation states to get any traction against this competition.
They have come to control the financial system. They've come to control the politics. And it's too easy a game right now. In which they each play one government off the other. Oh, you can't tax me. The other one's cutting my tax. Oh, you've got to cut the tax to match this one. What we call the race to the bottom.
All right, okay. So we're speaking with Bob Henley, who is a contributing editor for Politics and Investigations for our co-producer, WNYC. Bring this all home for us. On this tax day, what does this mean as we contemplate something like the Buffett rule or even the Bloomberg rule?
Well, it comes, President Obama in his State of the Union address referred to a multinational minimum tax. And that's the idea that we've come to a point in time where, why is it that all these very wealthy people and global enterprises can prosper? To a large degree because of U.S. force projection, the United States military really projecting itself around the world and creating a more stable world, or unstable depending on your politics. But the bottom line is, are multinationals and wealthy individuals involved with global wealth, which got its start here, participating in a meaningful way? And does it not perhaps exaggerate the expanding gap between the 1% and 99%?
It's a good question to contemplate as you're standing in line at the post office. Bob Henley, contributing editor for Politics and Investigations for our co-producer, WNYC. Thanks as always.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.